Sportscast, April 10th, 2020. Happy Good Friday. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Today's sponsor is Insta Bible app, create verses and pictures. You can get the Insta Bible app in the Apple App Store. The Los Angeles Rams have agreed to trade wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Houston Texans. Another major trade for a couple picks. And joining us all the way from New York City, Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kailu, what have you been up to this past week?
I've just been honestly relaxing, mostly doing my work and like basically just watching a lot of like Netflix series. Tiger King's been really good. Oxnard, just been watching a lot of Netflix.
How's Tiger King? Has that been a worthwhile series?
I love Tiger King. Like honestly, in the beginning, like thinking about it, it goes to show you like revenge and like things really catch up to you. And there's this guy, I forgot his name. Oh, actually, he's coming to me, Joe. He goes to jail for killing pets and destroying pets.
Incredible. Anyway, and have you been watching the ESPN NBA Finals from 2012 this past week?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of that. I've been just watching a lot of like classics and a lot of baseball, like home run derby stuff. I saw some boxing. They were showing some really good boxing on ESPN too. A lot of old Muhammad Ali highlights, etc.
A lot of good classics just to reflect on how great sports is. Let's go into the show. The LA Rams trade Brandon Cooks to the Houston Texans, which remember, the Texans send a wide receiver to LA, Hopkins. The Texans will send a 2020 second round NFL draft pick to the LA Rams for Cooks and a 2022 fourth round pick. Kailu, did Houston's. Houston Texans make like the right move this time?
I don't think so. I think that they got a player who has a bad contract. And also, I like Brandon Cooks, although he did have a very productive season last year, 583 yards, 13.9 per catch. He had two touchdowns. Although he had a very productive year last year, he's someone who's very injury prone. I think he's had five concussions over the last couple of seasons. That's obviously a risk. His health is a risk. I don't think he's quite a number one. I still think he's number two and number three. And also, he's bounced around a lot. If you look at his last couple of years in his career, he's bounced around a lot. So I do think that his health, along with him bouncing back a lot, I don't think that they got enough for what they lost.
The Rams will incur $21.8 million in dead money by trading Cooks. They already paid him a $4 million roster bonus that was due on the third day of the league year. In two seasons with the Rams, Cooks caught 122 passes for 1,787 yards and 7 touchdowns. In 2018, Cooks played a pivotal role in a Rams offense that powered the team to Super Bowl that year. Cooks caught 80 passes for 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now, Cooks was very good back then, you know, back in 18. Last year, kind of slowed down. Kailu, would you consider him a top 10, top 20 wide receiver in the NFL?
I would not consider him a top 10. I just think there's a lot of talented receivers that come to mind before you think about Brandon Cooks. But probably, like, outside the top 20, so maybe more like top 25. He's always been very talented, but his problem has always been, for number one, his health. And he just continues to bounce around from team to team. So he's always been great at vertical threat, but he's always been like more of a number two and number three, surrounded by pieces. He can flourish.
Which I did have him for my fantasy 1 year, I think 2 years ago, and he did a good job. Now, the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Rams. Is Brandon Cooks that replacing piece at the wide receiver spot for Houston?
No, he's not going to be in the number one. He has injury concern. So he's bounced around a lot lately. Like I said, the Saints 2014 to 2016. He was with the Patriots. Then he's with the Rams for 2 years. Now he's going to the Texans. in his career as of 2019, 402 receptions, 5,730 yards, 281 rushing yards, 61 return yards, and 36 touchdowns. He's very productive as a vertical threat, but there's concerns about his injury history. Also, I mean, his contract is not really too good. So there's that as well.
The Texans wide receivers right now is Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Kiki Kuti, DeAndre Carter, Randall Cobb, Chad Hansen, and now with Brandon Cooks. From this group, Kailu, who do you think is number one?
I mean, it's going to be Brandon Cooks is going to have to be the number one, but I mean, his cap hit, if you're looking at 2024, 2023, and you're projecting down the line, I don't think it's going to end up, I don't think they're going to get a good bargain for their money. I mean, it's going to be a cap hit of $14 million that the Texans are going to be due. So I think by then, I think they, well, obviously that's in 4 years, but I don't think they're going to get good value. I think he's a nice receiver, but for Hopkins, even if he ends up being your second or third, it's still not worth trading Hopkins for personal reasons. So I don't think that Houston, I think Houston's going to take a big step back, because if you look at Bill O'Brien's trade history, I mean, he's traded Hopkins, Clowney, a 2021st, a 2021 first, a second-round pick in his draft, next year's second-round pick, a third-round pick in 2020, a fourth-round pick. He's just traded a bunch of players. He's acquired Tunsil, David Johnson, Kenny Stills, Mingo, Jacob Martin, all players that just haven't worked out for him. So I don't think that this trade is going to work out for him in terms of what they're expecting. I do think he's going to be a nice piece, but I don't think they're going to get as much as they're hoping for with Brandon Cooks.
Of course, the Texans have added running back David Johnson. The AFC South right now, Kailu, is Jaguars, Colts, Titans, and the Texans. What order do you have them after this trade?
I think the Colts, I think it's a two-team division. I think the Colts and the Titans are going to bounce for the division. I don't think the Jaguars are good. They fired Coughlin. Marone is questionable. They traded Ramsey. Calais Campbell was no longer there. So, I mean, they're going to be very questionable. I don't think that they're going to win a lot of games. I could see them having another four-win season next year. They don't have Nick Foles anymore, so that's going to be tough for them. The Colts obviously added Phillip Rivers. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. They still have Quentin Nelson. They're still formidable defensively. They still have a great general manager in Chris Ballard, good coach in Frank Wright. So I think that's going to be formidable. And also the Titans made the AFC Championship game last year. Derrick Henry, you know, on a franchise tag, Ryan Tannehill got his money. So I expect really it to come down to the Colts and the Titans for the division.
AFC South, looking into it, of course, Ryan Tannehill got a big contract. The Colts and the Jaguars are rumored to draft quarterbacks in this upcoming NFL draft. Kailu, do you think the Colts will draft a quarterback?
I think they are, because if you're looking at Phillip Rivers, he's over 37. I think he's 37 years old. So if you're looking to put together a succession plan, I think it'll be the right call for them. He's 38. I think it'll be the right call for them to draft a quarterback, because obviously last year, even though his offensive line was depleted and his running game was depleted, he did turn the ball over a lot, which could be the sign of him in decline. So I definitely think it'll be wise for him to do it.
The Jaguars have Gardner Minshew. He was rookie last season, had a good couple of games. And then, of course, they interchanged back to Nick Foles. Nick Foles got injured. And Minshew came in, had a great performance. I mean, like four or five good games. And then Nick Foles came back into the fold. There's rumors that Jaguars might draft a quarterback. Or do you think they should stick with Gardner Minshew and give him another shot, another year just to prove?
I personally think they should give him another year to improve. But you can't tell if Jacksonville were all in on Nick Foles. They let him go now and then they let Gardner Minshew start. You can't tell if they're all in on Minshew or they're trying to draft the quarterback. They don't seem to know which direction they want to go with their quarterback. I think they should personally stay with Gardner Minshew.
And a potential pick that the Jaguars could get is Jordan Love. Kailu, are you convinced with the whole Jordan Love hype?
I haven't seen Jordan Love to Jacksonville, honestly.
Jordan Love is predicted to go as early as the ninth spot to the Jaguars, and then as low to the Patriots at number 23. So we'll see where things end up in the draft, which will be on April 23rd to the 25th. All virtual, Kailu. All virtual.
If he falls to New England, boy, would New England love that.
Well, that's the thing with New England. Like, I mean, here in Stidham's the man. But if something falls into their laps, they could take a quarterback.
If it falls into their lap, they're taking it. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If they're hoping, if Jordan Love falls to New England, that's one of New England's hopes. If Jordan Love falls to New England, teams like Green Bay are going to be looking for it. Because Aaron Rodgers does have two broken collarbones. So teams like that are playoff teams that could afford to take the chance. If Jordan Love, God forbid, he falls that far, teams with playoff, you know, teams that are in the playoffs, that are in the playoffs every year with nothing to lose because they have fundamentally sound teams, will take that chance.
You say quarterback for the Packers. I have not heard that. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of, like, wide receivers going to Green Bay. But do you think Green Bay should get a quarterback due to Aaron Rodgers' collarbone?
No, I don't think they should get a quarterback. I'm saying, look, Green Bay needs to – I think we still should take a wide receiver. What I'm saying is if a quarterback is still there that Green Bay likes and that they're interested in, Aaron Rodgers is 36. If he has three more years, you can have another situation where you have a succession plan already in place, similar to what we had with Brett Favre when Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench and really helped him and mentored him for those 3 years. Even though it didn't end up working, that relationship wasn't always the best. It ended up working Aaron Rodgers' benefit. Even though we should still take a wide receiver, if no quarterbacks are there for us to take, don't reach. If all the quarterbacks are taken, don't take one. But if the opportunity presents itself to take one and set ourselves up for 15 years, we could always get a receiver later. There are going to be first-round talent receivers that go in the fourth round. So we could always get that later.
So you would take Jordan Love?
If a quarterback's there for Green Bay, I would take Jordan Love. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he has four more years left. He can always mentor behind. But if Jordan Love is not there, we're going to take a wide receiver.
Green Bay Packers have Davante Adams, but a lot of talk in the street is that he needs some help. So we'll see what Green Bay does. Green Bay was predicted to pick the tight end last year, but they did not. But speaking about quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, which I think Kailu's heard of him, even after other schools' pro day got axed due to the coronavirus pandemic, Alabama quarterback Tua went through his original scheduled individual workout on Thursday. You'd hope those involved all went through the proper health precautions, even though just 10 people were involved in the workout. Former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer orchestrated the whole workout, while Tua's former teammate Jerry Jeudy was one of the wideouts helping run routes. ESPN's Chris Mortensen posted the entire pro day workout on his personal Twitter account, breaking up the some 70 throws into 7 separate videos. The workout took place on an indoor field that was somewhat between 40 and 45 to 50 yards long. I saw the video, Kailu. I've been hearing some positive things. I saw positive things. He was moving around. One strong point that I saw from the videos was his throwing arm. What was your thoughts when you saw the video?
I thought it went well. I thought he only needed to show his mobility and for the most part show he's healthy. Trent Dilfer connected on saying he's better than he throws a better ball than Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers. I don't believe that to be true. Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino were just poor throwers. I do think that I've seen some videos where there was some concerns about his down the field strength. Even though he throws a pinpoint ball, there was some concerns about his down the field accuracy. So I don't think he throws the ball at Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino. Those guys were just different. And Patrick Mahomes, obviously. But I did like what I saw from Tua in terms of they just want to make sure his hip is clear. I did like how he moved around.
With all the talk about him having injuries and he's injury prone, do you think that throwing arm could overcome those? His throwing arm could overcome all those doubts.
I don't think so, and here's why: because there's always been, if you've been injury prone in college football, you're more likely to be in NFL. I don't think teams have more concerns. I think teams have more concerns with his health because they obviously recognize how talented he is. But the best availability is being on the field. And if he's able to be on the field, everybody knew he's going to be able to produce. He's still got to get better in terms of growing as a thrower, in terms of the NFL, getting used to the playbook in the NFL. And that's a different ballgame in itself. But for the most part, if he stays healthy and he, you know, is able to get in the weight room and get stronger, I definitely think that he has all the talent in the world.
Justin Herbert has been trending to go towards the Miami Dolphins, or the Miami Dolphins has been leaning towards Justin Herbert. After seeing this video, Kailu, do you think the Dolphins might change their mind and go back to Tua?
No, I think they're with Tua all along. I just smoke screen so that, you know, teams ahead of them don't draft Tua.
I do agree. I mean, I honestly think Kailu is a 50-50 choice. I think it'll come down to the night of, obviously, but you're right. It's always been about tanking for Tua. Why do you think like they'll pick Tua over Herbert?
I think they just recognize he's just very talented. And I think teams aren't really concerned about talent. Yeah, they have some things that they improve on, but I think they're more concerned with health. I think if he can get through the health portion of this process, I think he should be good to go.
There was an article this past week from the Miami Herald that there was unreported injuries from Tua, and he broke his wrist twice. That was, I can't say it was like a April surprise, but would you think that's concerning?
In terms of his wrist, I don't really see his wrist as a problem. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen a lot of athletes like break their wrists. I'm more concerned about hip, because in the NFL, like, you got to be able to move around, and that's going to affect your lateral ability. And so I'm more concerned about that rather than his wrist, because I think wrist injuries tend to heal if you rest and rehab. But I'm more concerned about his hip and his movement, because the NFL, you got to be able to get by linebackers, defensive ends. So I'm more concerned about hip and his ankle more so than his wrist. I think his wrist should be able to heal.
That's a good observation, Kailu. I mean, I've been hearing, you know, negativity from like the whole wrist, but you're right. I think a lot of athletes or a lot of quarterbacks itself have wrist injuries and they get healed properly. But what's the key is the hip, the legs, and also decision making. I think Tua has to make decision making when to slide, when not to get tackled. I think those are the issues that he ran with Alabama, even though Alabama had a great OL line. But do you think Tua needs to learn from what happened with Wentz and some other quarterbacks that make bad decisions?
I definitely agree with that sentiment. I think in the NFL, a lot of it's going to be knowing when to get away, knowing when to throw the ball away. Because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is really good at that. When they feel pressure, sometimes it's just best to throw the ball away. I do think that coming to the NFL and learning the NFL system and knowing the coaches around him is definitely going to help him to be able to do that. Because you don't want to end up like RG3 having a Holodinata.
I agree. Trent Dilfer compares him better than Dan Marino. Would you put Tua up there with Marino and Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely not. When Dan Marino got in the league, the three greatest players that we ever seen, like what three great prospects that we ever seen from the quarterback position, quarterbacks was Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Dan Marino. Andrew Luck in his first season, you know, three straight years, 11-5 from 2-14. So I'm not going to put Tua in the category of those guys. Those guys were just different. Peyton Manning, when he came out of Tennessee, I mean, he just learned to play really quickly. So I would hesitate to put anybody in those three guys' category.
Yeah, it's hard to predict. Obviously, you know, only in time will tell. And we'll see what the LA Chargers, when they get Herbert, you know, what type of quarterback will Herbert be? You know, it's a lot of different comparisons. Him, which they can't compare him to Josh Allen, great throwing arm, but we'll see what happens. Any closing words with the NFL?
No.
Let's go on to Major League Baseball. In a joint effort with the Major League Baseball Players Association and Sony Interactive Entertainment, Major League Baseball is launching the first competitive MLB The Show League, featuring players from all 30 teams competing in a 29-game regular season, the league announced Friday. Kailu, is this enough to satisfy your entertainment?
I think this is fun for the fans, just to give Major League Baseball a chance to continue to promote the game while this hiatus is going on.
The regular season begins Friday and will last through April 28th. Games will take place every 1 to 2 days with 3 to 5 any matchups playing each game day. The postseason is scheduled to begin April 30th with the World Series played on May 2nd. The postseason will feature the 8 best teams with a best of three format for the first 2 rounds and a best-of-5 format for the World Series. So this isn't an actual in-person league, right?
I don't think so.
No, this is a video game.
Yeah, this is a video game. It's not in-person.
Yeah. Which there was like there has been thoughts or talks to have the Major League Baseball season played in one location in Arizona. You think that's a proper way to get like the league going?
I don't think that these talks. I think it got leaked from somewhere, but I don't think this is like. I don't think MLB really wanted this leak because I don't think that they have the logistics. I saw some stuff they could play in Arizona and they're gonna put these teams. I think it's got to be baseball has a lot of personnel of every sport. I mean, it's 25 per team. You got the trainers. You still got to have the trainers. You still got to have the coaches. You have the pitching coach. You have the bullpen coach. So I think out of all the sports, and since baseball is starting, it's going to be a tough time for them to start before June. These ideas are great in theory, but baseball has 25 people per team. You have the training staff. There's just a lot of people involved. And it's going to be without fans, obviously. But even without fans, you're going to have an automated strike zone. So it's just a lot of people involved for baseball. So I definitely think they're, you know, at the men. Basketball, they can think about, you know, but I definitely think it's going to be a long haul for baseball. These ideas sound great, but thinking about them, I don't think that they're going to happen anytime soon.
We'll get to basketball soon. The Korean Baseball League will be starting soon. Would you be watching that?
The Korean baseball? I don't watch Korean baseball.
What if it's the only thing on TV, Kailu?
I'll probably watch some like YouTube or Netflix.
Well, I think that like they had to get something going. I know we're gonna switch to basketball soon. I know that the Chinese Basketball Association hasn't restarted their league yet, even though they're kind of a little bit ways away. I mean, out of the whole coronavirus, obviously there could be a second wave potentially, but nothing has started over there. But the Korean baseball, the KBO league. Is going to start eventually soon, and targeting early May. So that could be the first organized sport, to be back after this whole pandemic. But we'll see what happens. NBA. Go ahead.
Wait, my fear for baseball is like unlike any other sport, baseball just has a lot of factors. You have more games. You have more travel staff. Baseball plays more games. They play series. I mean, even when you're playing in minor league park, baseball just has a lot of people that just need to be there more than any other sport. I mean, the NBA has an incredible amount of staff, but baseball just has more people involved. And baseball has less people that you can actually eliminate from actually being in the venue. I mean, the NBA, they can do some of it, a lot of it remote. Baseball, they're relying on, you know, the umpire. That's close contact with the batter. So baseball has a lot of, you know, elements working against them.
What they should do is they should test players before they play, test trainers, test staff members, and just play with no fans.
No, playing without fans is not a question. Every league is going to have to play without fans. But I do think that, you know, there's a shortage in testing in the country. So baseball's going to have a lot of tests made available, the location. Also, you got to think about American League teams versus NL. A small factor, the NL teams, if a game starts at 1, you know, that's 10 o'clock in the morning, you're putting that team at a disadvantage versus the American League team, you know, where the players, the hotels and stuff. You got to have hotel workers to be there. That's an extra element because they got to still stay in major league quality hotels. The spring training facility still got to have adequate, Major League Baseball standards.
Something to definitely look at. We'll see what Major League Baseball does. I think they'll be the first league to probably announce something soon. The NBA will not announce anything till May, and there's a potential possibility that the league will be canceled. Kailu, what do you think is going to happen?
I think there's increasingly, you can't rule out a canceling, and obviously a lot of people are hopeful, and I'm hopeful that the league continues to go on, but you got to get increasing word that it actually might be canceled, and I think that you know, not having a decision to May 1st is the best thing for the league because they don't have any more information than they did 3 weeks ago. So,
something to definitely look at. What I've been hearing that the NBA is looking at the Chinese Basketball Association, what they're doing. They haven't reconceived. Like, they were thinking about doing a couple of weeks ago, but they stalled it. Stephon Marbury was interviewed on ESPN Radio this past week, and he was saying, yeah, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. He says most likely that the games over there would not be played with fans.
Yeah, I heard the same thing too about Stephon Marbury. Also, he did a nice deed. He was going to send some masks to New York using his China connection, so that was really cool.
I saw that, which he retired last year, I believe, or 2 years ago. And what a story. What a remarkable story. He had a good start with the NBA, but kind of lasered out. And he's won three championships with playing in the Chinese Basketball Association. And now he's a coach for the Beijing team. So we'll see what he does. But I would like to watch out for that league, because that league could be like the second best league in the world when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, I like that league. Also, the FBA league, the Spaniards, those leagues are really cool to see. And the NBA, the NBL is also cool. The Australian league, I also like that league as well.
NBA players will receive their full checks when the next payday for most of them arrives on April 15th. Even though no games will have been played for more than a month at that point, the NBA gave teams the directive on Thursday in a memo that was obtained by ESPN. So far, they're getting paid, Kailu.
Yeah, I thought this was great for not necessarily the top players, because they're going to make their money regardless through endorsement deals. But for the second-tier players and the players that are, you know, just in the league and the players on two-way deals, that's really good for them to see the NBA owners and the NBAPA coming together.
The league and the NBAPA have been in talks for weeks about the status of salaries during the NBA shutdown. A source told ESPN's Tim Batemps that the players' union didn't view April 15th as a hard deadline and preferred to wait and see how the situation unfolds rather than come to an agreement right now. The last game was played March 11th, the day that Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert became the first NBA player to test positive for the coronavirus. There you have it. That's your NBA news. There is a pickup game ESPN's going to show. It's called, I believe it's Horse, and they're going to display
it. Yeah, Horse.
This weekend, right?
Yeah, I thought it was cool, and I'll be interested next weekend to see the Jordan documentary. That's going to be very cool as well. I thought the Horse was cool. It just gives NBA fans a little more content to look forward to. There hasn't been a lot of NBA content, of course, so it's just really cool to see that.
Yeah, Kailu was mentioning about The Last Dance, about the Chicago Bulls last year of their dynasty back in the 90s, and the displays, you know, different interviews from a lot of people, and showed, hey, some behind-the-scenes footage that no one has ever seen before. So it's pretty exciting. I was a big fan of the Bulls back then. I was Miami Heat always, but I like seeing the Bulls play. And maybe the greatest team ever, but for some reason it's debatable.
In the conversation.
Anything else before we head into polls?
No.
We had a few polls today in the Sportscast Twitter. Let's go on the latest one. Who is the best quarterback in the SEC East, Kailu? Jamie Newman, Kyle Trask, or Ryan Helinski?
I'll go Ryan Helinski.
He got 0%. Kyle Trask got 60%, and Jamie Newman got 40%. Let's go this one. Who is the best cornerback in the NFL draft? Corner, CB. Jeff Kudu, CJ Henderson, Trevon Diggs, or Jalen Johnson?
Akuda
winning 53%, Trayvon Diggs 38%, and Jalen Johnson 7.7%. Which Trayvon Diggs could go to the Vikings.
Yeah, that'd be a good fit. Xavier Rhodes really struggled from last year, so that'd be a really good fit.
And Stephon Diggs just got let go from the Vikings. I think he's with the he's not with the Falcons, right?
He's with the Buffalo Bills.
Who?
Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Wow, what a team. And lastly, who is your favorite sibling athlete, Kailu? The McCourty brothers, Tiki and Rondé Barber, Serena and Venus Williams, or the Ball brothers?
Serena and Venus, without a doubt.
They're in second place, 33%. Tiki and Rondé Barber are winning at 55.6. The Ball brothers at 11, and Jason and Devin McCourty at 0%. Kailu Borden, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Cincinnati Bengals?
You can reach me at Kailu Borden 12 on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can reach us here at the Sportscast at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Throughout the weekend, we'll be following any moves or any potential for the NFL draft. And next week, we'll reconvene and see what happens. There's only two weeks left to the NFL draft, so a whole lot to go on. Anyways, Kailu, always a pleasure for you coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it.